If you're looking for someone to share a touching, inspirational anecdote about the enchanting life of the Eastern European shtetl, do not go to my grandmother. My mom's parents, known to me as Nana and Pop, came to the U.S. from Drohobych, a small city in Eastern Europe, not really a shtetl, which is what Jews call the very small villages that many of our ancestors came from, but a slightly bigger place that housed many Jews and also Christians. Nana is no longer with us, but when she was, her occasional stories about Drohobych never seemed quite like the charming children's books that come from PJ Library. Nana's Eastern European life featured smuggling food for her starving family, hiding up in the attic with her teenage sisters for weeks at a time so the Russian Cossacks would not find them and assault them. It was a place where she remembered disasters, untimely deaths, lots of dirt. She always talked about how dirty it was, illness and ignorance. So on the rare occasion when she would share a story from her childhood, probably because I or another family member would ask her, you know it wouldn't be something that would make it into a heartwarming children's collection. One story especially really made a big impression on me to this day. I think of it every Erev Yom Kippur. She shared that as a child, when the sun went down at the start of Yom Kippur and it was time for the Kol Nidre service, all the Jewish adults in town would put on their white clothes and walk to synagogue. Because Kol Nidre is the night when our tradition teaches that we are most directly connected with God, the time when our words and actions from the past year are assessed and judged, everyone would make their way to the synagogue, crying, wailing in fear and pain and pleas for mercy. Their sobs and wails were so loud that Nana would look out her bedroom window, see a line of wailing figures all in white, and think they were ghosts. She was so scared of them that she would hide under her bed. The story would always end the same way. She would shake her head and say, "They thought the heavens were coming to swallow them up. They were so ignorant." I think of these inhabitants of Drohobych every year on Kol Nidre. At this service, when we read in our prayer book, "On this holy day, atonement shall be made for you to purify you. You shall be cleansed from all your sins before the Lord." How deeply those Drohobych synagogue goers felt the great power of tonight. They walked to synagogue seeing the half moon in the sky as we do tonight, and they felt it. They felt the power in their hearts, in their souls, in their bones. Our early rabbis taught that the gates of heaven are especially open to our pleas and our prayers on this holy day of Yom Kippur, that our connection with a divine or a universal presence or power is never greater than it is now. Was there deep and emotional spiritual connection at this sacred time simply a reflection of ignorance? Was the power of Yom Kippur for them simply a sign of their reliance on superstition and hearsay rather than on scientific research? Does a modern secular belief that any moment is equal, really, to any other moment make us superior to our Eastern European ancestors? Is it just too silly for us to think of certain times or certain days as bringing us closer to God than other days? We, like my grandmother did, might completely write off our tradition's belief in holy time that brings humanity a greater sense of the awe and the power of God in the universe. We might simply see it as a vestige of an ignorant pre-Enlightenment time. But my question for us on this Kol Nidre night is not only, should we dismiss our ancestors' images of a special line to God on this Kol Nidre, but also, in a time of secularism, are we really better off as whole human beings? Or do we actually close ourselves off to the true depth of human experience when we insist that the world is merely a collection of natural laws, nothing more? That this Kol Nidre night is no more holy for the Jewish people than any other random time of the year. Even in the United States, in this year, 2018, 5,779, I suggest we consider that we can bring ourselves and our families a more meaningful life by embracing the idea that some moments, some times, some days are more holy than others. That we must acknowledge the power of holy times and live them differently as times of self-reflection, of renewal, of reaching out beyond our daily concerns and our daily activities, using them to connect with ideals and values and power beyond ourselves. Our Torah teaches from the very first chapters that God's creations, land and sea, mammals and birds, trees and plants, human beings, all are called in the Torah Tov. They're all called good. But nothing physical, nothing in the world of space is called Kadosh, the word for holiness, for something sacred, for something set apart in the mysterious realm of the eternal God. Only one thing created in that week is considered Kadosh, Shabbat. It's not a physical object, it's a period of time. Only the special time that God set aside for rest is what is truly sacred in our world. Modern rabbi, mystic, and activist Abraham Joshua Heschel has taught, our Torah from the very beginning puts forth a radical idea. While other cultures and peoples and religions created holy places, maybe a mountain, a shrine, an intricately carved pole, these sacred objects or physical features are called in the field of religious studies axis mundi, a special place or statue or shrine in the physical world where heaven and earth are thought to connect more intimately than in any other place. A place where human beings can go to fully experience the godly. Rabbi Heschel teaches that from our earliest roots, Judaism understood holiness differently from other cultures and peoples. We do not experience godliness by traveling to one particular holy place in the world, even as very special as Israel and Jerusalem and the Kotel are to our people. These came later. We can experience godliness wherever we may live when we join with the rest of the Jewish world in observing our people's special days, times, and moments with fellow Jews around the world and from our past. Times set aside by our tradition for reflection, for focusing on the present moment, for taking deep breaths, for being with and focusing on the people with us rather than on our technology, for looking not to consume, but to observe, to marvel, to let the beauty and the wonder of the world wash over us, to experience a real sense of awe. Yom Kippur is called the Sabbath of Sabbaths, Shabbat Shabbaton. Therefore, Yom Kippur, coming once a year, is even more holy, has even more sacred power than even Shabbat, which comes once a week. Rabbi Schneur Zalman of Liadi, a Hasidic teacher, taught, on Yom Kippur, your core soul, your very essence, is laid bare. Who we truly are within is displayed on this night clearly before God, and if we are honest, to ourselves as well. No amount of rationalizing, of posturing, of putting on a false public veneer hides our true selves on this most holy Yom Kippur day. And so it is also taught that this day, a difficult day of pure and brutal honesty, is the one on which each of us is best able to make teshuva. Teshuva is sometimes translated as repentance, but it more literally means to return in our words and our actions to a pure and an honest and a godly self that lies within each of us. There is no way to logically prove our tradition's claims that time can be holy, that time is our most precious possession, that the true key to a life of meaning and godliness is recognizing that time is a scarce resource, that a life journey of purpose involves using our time wisely and well, that a life with no purpose, a life in which we do not live but merely exist, is brought about by thoughtlessly squandering our moments away on pursuits that bring us no growth, that bring no real substance to our world, that do not bring us real connection between and among human beings. These are the truths we learn from the wisdom of experience. On this holiest of holy days, can we honestly face how much precious and holy time we spend staring at screens, reading emails, rushing constantly from place to place to place, worrying, regretting, making excuses and avoiding things and people and conversations and thoughts that we really need to encounter directly? We began tonight's service with a very special blessing. In fact, we said it twice, the Shehecheyanu. Do other religions have a special blessing for a moment in time? I don't know. Shehecheyanu can be said individually, among members of a family, or among an entire community, when a meaningful moment is reached. We may mark a holiday, a bar mitzvah, a graduation, the first time a child rides their two-wheeler, The first time a child brings a whole sack of donated food to a food bank to provide tzedakah and help the needy. We praise and thank God for our lives and for bringing us lazman hazeh, to this very time, this present moment. What could be more authentically Jewish than publicly recognizing that time is the most holy thing at our disposal? It is what we have more than any physical thing to build a purposeful life, to repair a broken world. In the Shehecheyanu, we exclaim, thank you, God, this very moment and in time is a precious, blessed gift. Can we remember later tonight after services, when it might be an easy habit to pick up the iPhone or turn on the TV or scroll through electronic messages, that if we cannot take this one 24-hour period to be purely within ourselves, our souls, our people, our God, whatever we imagine God to be, then when will that time come? We can distract ourselves with technology and minutia for many, many years, but time, holy or not, will eventually run out for each of us. This Kol Nidre night, the start of our Yom Kippur observance, reminds us our days are precious. We must take the time to reflect, to think about our real and true goals, to be fully present with the people around us, to wonder if we are on the right path, to fill our hearts with gratitude, to open ourselves in understanding regarding the faults of others, to open ourselves to understand that we too have flaws and imperfections, and that we can forgive others as we can forgive ourselves. Some have played with the English word atonement, as we sometimes translate Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Atonement can be broken up into the word at-one-ment. This day of at-one-ment is a day where all, when all, are truly one, truly at one. Boundaries are erased, upper and lower worlds are joined, people and wisdom and love, past, present, and future, humanity and godliness all come together for one shared communal purpose, to do the inner and the outer work necessary to bring greater blessing and peace and meaning to our own lives, to our families, our communities, our nation, and the world. Our ancestors poured out their hearts on this night. Our world is so different from theirs. Yet the holiness, the preciousness of time, the importance of carving out holy moments of reflection, confession, rejuvenation, and striving to see the big life picture is just as vital as it has always been. Maybe more so. May you be emotionally and spiritually moved and changed by the historic and global power of this special Jewish night, leading into a holy Jewish day. May its rituals, its prayers, its spirituality, its precious moments, all experienced together with our community, May they touch you to the core and bring you a more meaningful life in the year to come. Amen.